Galatians chapter number 1. You know, I've heard a lot of Christians say some pretty peculiar things through the years. You hear different people groups of Christians say different things. You know, one of the things that I've kind of heard through the years is this. I've heard Christians say things like, well, I don't know why God lets him get away with that. God ought to just zap him. Well, I don't know why God lets her get away with all that. I think God ought to zap her. You know, I've heard people say, Christians say, well, that's such a wicked nation. God is really going to judge them. Or I've heard Christians say about a certain group of people, they'll say, oh yeah, they're so perverted, God ought to just blast them all. Well, you know, I am glad to be able to stand before you today and tell you that God is not zapping sinners, and He's not judging nations, and He's not blasting people groups today. You want to know what God's up to today? God is offering grace to sinners today. That's what God's doing. He's offering His grace to sinners. I want you to get that statement in your handout. That what is God up to today? Well, God is offering grace to sinners. And can I tell you this? If God was in the business of zapping sinners today, I would have already been zapped. How about you? Yeah, I'd already been zapped, my friend, because I've sinned so many times against God. I'm ashamed to tell you, I have sinned so many times against God that God would have surely already zapped me. God is not in the business of zapping sinners. You know what God's in the business of today? He's in the business of saving sinners today. In your handout is a verse, 1 Timothy 1:15. The Apostle Paul wrote, this is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation. I like that. He says, man, this is faithful and it's acceptable. What? That Christ Jesus came into the world to what? Save sinners. To save sinners. I don't know if we understand how much God's heart longs to save sinners. I don't know if we understand it. The Bible says that God will have all men to be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth. The Bible says that God's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. His heart today is longing for sinners to experience His grace. God reached down, and in sheer grace, God saved a blaspheming, violent, abusive man who beat and arrested and jailed and murdered believers in Jesus Christ. This man was Saul of Tarsus, and we know him better as the Apostle Paul, who wrote 13 books to the church, the body of Christ. And Paul said in the very next verse there, 1 Timothy 1:16, he said, I obtain mercy that Paul said that I might be a pattern to them which should hereafter believe on Christ to everlasting life. Church, listen, our mission, the reason why we're here is to get out the message of God's grace to this world. The reason why we serve, the reason why we give of our resources, the reason why we do outreach events to the community like Walk Through Bethlehem, the reason why we support missionaries around the world, the reason why we're going to have a missions conference next week, the reason why there's even a local assembly of people that meet at 1851 South Clyde Morris Boulevard is so that we can collectively and together get out the message of the grace of God to sinners today. Listen, the reason why we're here is not just to try to... We're not here to take over power structures or to change the political arena. We're not here as a social club. We're not here to build some big religious machine that operates on all cylinders. We are here to be a conduit for God to be able to convey to this world the message of His grace. Church, that's why Crossroads is here, so that we can be conduits to flow the grace of God to this world and that message of His grace. Are you with me this morning?
Amen.
Now, I know there's a little hangover here from time change, but are you with me? All right. We are here to get out the message of His grace. That's why we exist. People get some wacky ideas why the church exists, but that's why we're here. We're here to get out the message of His grace. We're not here to soothe our conscience. We're not here to play church. You know, we're not here to play religion. We're not here to get some mega, you know, religious machine built up here. You know, no, that's not why we're here. We are here to share with this world the life-changing message of the grace of God. You say, why is it so crucial that we get that message out? Number one, in your handout, because peace with God is now being offered. Peace with God is now being offered. Go with me over to Galatians 1 now, and notice how Paul starts out this letter. He's writing to a group of churches in Galatia, which would be like modern-day Turkey, the country of Turkey. And so he's got all these churches that he started up there in Galatia. And he writes to them in verse 3, and he says, grace be to you and peace. Now, right away, he starts this letter with two beautiful words, grace and peace. Now, everybody look at verse 3 and read it. Just read the verse silently. And I want to ask you a question. Where is the grace and peace coming from according to that verse? From God the Father and from who else? The Lord Jesus Christ. So, because of God's grace, peace is now possible between a holy God and sinful mankind. Now, what is the opposite of grace? Okay, somebody said wrath. It's not the word I was really looking for. That's a good word. What would be the, give you an illustration. Let's say a cop pulls you over. He's got you dead to rights. You're speeding. If he gives you grace, what does he do? Let you go. And you got undeserved favor. Amen. But what if he starts writing out the ticket? And what if he brings judgment? In other words, he's going to give you exactly what you deserve. The opposite of grace would be judgment. In other words, grace is getting favor that I don't deserve. Well, judgment is getting what I do deserve. See? So the opposite of grace would be judgment. Question for you. What would be the opposite of peace? War. That's right. So instead of God bringing judgment and war on mankind today, God says, I'm offering grace and peace. Now, did you know that the Bible teaches that one day Christ is going to come back to this earth? And did you know that at the second coming of Christ to earth, do you know what the Bible said Christ is going to do? Now, listen, when Christ came the first time, He came as a lamb to die for the sins of the world. When Christ comes back the second time to the earth, He's not coming as a lamb to die. The Bible says when He comes back the second time, He's not coming as a lamb, He's coming as a lion. And when He comes back to the earth as a lion, here's what He's going to do. Look at Revelation 19:11. And I saw heaven open, and behold, a white horse, and he that sat upon him was called Faithful and True. Who do you think is called Faithful and True? Jesus Christ. And when He comes back to the earth, it says, in righteousness He doth what? Judge, that's the opposite of grace, and make war, the opposite of peace. So, do you understand that according to this verse, when Christ comes back to the earth, He's going to do the very opposite of what Paul said He's doing today? Today He's offering grace and peace. But when that time of grace is over, He's coming back to the earth and He's going to judge and He's going to make war. You see, here's basically what the deal is. Mankind declared war on God when we took His Son and we crucified Him on a cross. The Gentiles and Israel together took the Messiah, took Christ, took the Son of God. We don't want Him. We reject Him. You know, give us Barabbas instead. And they take Christ, the Son of God, and they nail Him to a cross. Mankind basically was declaring war on God Almighty. Well, the Bible teaches that one day God's going to make a counter-declaration of war on mankind. The book of Psalm chapter 2 talks about how they take Christ and how that they take Him and they crucify Him. And when they do that, the Bible says that God then makes war with mankind. Now, the Bible says in 2 Thessalonians 1 that when Christ is revealed from heaven at the second coming, the Bible says He's going to be revealed from heaven with His mighty angels, and in flaming fire, He's going to take vengeance on them that know not God and that obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, and they're going to be punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of His power. So now here we are, mankind declared war on God, and we see that God's going to counter-declare war on mankind. So where does that leave us today? we are living in between man's declaration of war on God and God's counter-declaration of war on mankind. We're living in between. Let me show you, left it over here. Let me show you a chart. Let me bring it up. Might help you to see it. Here we see they rejected Christ. Mankind declared war on God by taking God's Son and crucifying Him, then rejected the Holy Spirit. Over here you got God's counter-declaration of war. You've got 7 years where God's going to pour out His wrath on mankind. And now where are we at? We are living right in here in what Paul calls the dispensation of the grace of God. We are living in a time period in which instead of God pouring out wrath, God has been making an offer of peace and extending it to every person in the world. We are living in an unprecedented time of grace where God is offering, based on His grace, He's offering to His enemies everywhere in the world peace with Himself. There can be no peace without His grace. Look in your handout with me at Titus 2:11. It says, "For the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to whom? To all men." So in your handout it says, "Grace from God and peace with God are now available to all mankind." Grace from God and peace with God are now available. When you hear people running around, and you hear them on religious programming, on TV and radio, and a lot of times they'll get into this thing about God zapping people, and God's judging nations, and God's judging America, and God is judging this people group and that people group, and this constitutes God's judgment on them. And you can rest assured, when you hear that, and you see some of these nuts running around, and they go to, have you ever seen this group? They'll go around to tragedy situations, and they'll hold up signs, you know, "God's judging you," and all that kind of stuff. Listen, you can rest assured that those kind of people, they do not understand God's Word, they don't know how to rightly divide it, and they don't know what God's doing today. Now listen closely. Back in 98, remember, how many of you were in Florida when we had all those fires? Remember the fires of 98? Remember that? Well, you had all kinds of nuts running around saying that God was judging Florida. God's getting even with Florida and He's judging Florida. And you had all kinds of whacked out ideas why God was angry with Florida and why God was judging us and not any of the other states, just judging us. And you heard all kinds of things. I heard all kinds of wacky things where it was because of a political leader, you know, that God was judging Florida. I even heard that God was judging Florida because of Disney World in Orlando. And because Disney World had left their moral roots, and because Disney World had left their family roots, and now they were involved in this, that, and the other, that God's bringing judgment on Florida through these fires because of Disney World. That's a bunch of tomfoolery, folks. That's a bunch of religious rhetoric designed to try to scare and intimidate people. Listen, we are not living in a time in which God's judging mankind. We're living in the time period in which God's offering grace to mankind. We're not living in a time period in which God is judging. Now, you hear that all the time. You know, that God's judging this nation and God's judging this people. We're not living in a time in which God's making war with mankind. We're living in a time period in which God is offering peace to all of mankind. You know, over and over again, if you study Paul's writings, he describes God as the God of peace. And then do a study sometime on that. I typed in God of in my search engine in the Bible, God of. And Paul calls Him the God of peace, the God of patience, the God of consolation, the God of hope, the God of all comfort, the God of love, the God of love and peace, he calls Him. Over and over again. Now the question is this today, do you have peace with God? You know what the good news is? You can have peace with God. God is offering to you and me and sinners everywhere peace with Himself. And church, we've got to get out the message of God's grace to this world. Why? Well, because of His grace, God's extending an offer of peace to mankind. What a shame that there are people that are born over here, they live out their entire life, and then they die, and they never know about this peace offer from God. They never know. People live and die and never know about this peace offer that God's making with mankind. They never know about this grace that God is so freely giving to all men. Why? Why don't they know? Because nobody ever told them. There was a Japanese fella back in World War II. They left him on an island in the Philippines. And this Japanese guy was told, look, you carry out your orders. Even if Japan surrenders, they said, you carry out your orders. Well, this Japanese guy continued fighting World War II even after Japan surrendered. And he killed like 30 people. And he was just, he was living out in the woods, had a sword, and was still fighting the war. Well, get a load of this. You ready for this? After they had tried and tried and tried to get messages to him, they tried to convince him the war was over, Japan was now the U.S.'s ally and all this kind of stuff, he never would surrender. Finally, they got his former superior officer to give him a personal command to surrender and read the ceasefire order. He finally handed over his sword to the president, okay, and this guy was 22 years old when they left him on the island. Do you know how long he fought a war that wasn't going on? 30 years. He lived in the jungles of the Philippines fighting that war for 30 years. When he finally surrendered, he was a 52-year-old prematurely aged man. This was in Newsweek. Can you imagine that? 30 years he fought a war not realizing that peace had been extended. I wonder how many people out there in the world today are fighting a battle against God and they don't even understand or realize that God is offering peace to them through Jesus Christ. Number two is this. We need to get out the message of grace, number two, because a complete sacrifice for sin has been made. Sin separates mankind from a holy God. Now, do y'all believe that God can condone sin? Now, think about that. Think with me. I know, you know, we come to church, we don't expect to have to think, right? But around here we do. Amen? Can God condone sin? Can God just take sin and sweep it under the rug? Yes or no?
No.
If He did that, would He be a holy God? No, He wouldn't be a God worthy of our praise if God could take sin and just sweep it under the rug. No, God has to judge sin. What's the penalty for sin? Yeah, in your handout it says, God must judge sin. It says the penalty is death. Turn your handout over and look with me at the top there. Romans 6:23. Everybody say it with me. You ready? Romans 6:23. Say it with me this morning. For the wages of sin is death. Now, like it or lump it, that's what God says. God said that the wages of sin is death. And Revelation chapter 20, 14 and 15 talk about there's a second death. And that's when a person's soul and spirit spends eternity in the lake of fire separated from a holy God. So sin not only brings physical death, it brings spiritual death in a place that the Bible identifies as the lake of fire. Now, folks, listen, there's only one reason why God can offer peace with sinners today. If we know God can't condone sin, we know God can't sweep it under the rug, then how can God offer to me, Dan Proctor, a sinner, how can He offer me peace with Himself? In your handout it says, the Bible declares that Christ gave Himself for our sins. I want you to look with me, after you write that in, at Galatians 1, verse 4. Notice this verse with me, folks. This is great. Let's go up to verse 3. Grace be to you and peace from God the Father and from our Lord Jesus Christ. What did Jesus do? Everybody look at verse 4. What's the first part of the verse say? What did Christ do? He gave Himself for our sins. Let's say it together. Who gave Himself for our sins. Who gave Himself? Come on, talk to me. Who gave Himself?
Jesus.
And what did He give Himself for? Our sins. Do you believe that this morning? Christ, the sinless one, did Christ ever sin? No. But yet He gave Himself as a perfect sacrifice for sin. If the wages of sin is death, did Christ deserve to die? No, He didn't deserve it. But yet He voluntarily took the wages of sin, not deserving it. Why did He do it? Look at Romans 5:6. For when we were yet without strength, in due time, Christ died for who? Us. Look at Romans 5:8. It says, but God commendeth His love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. God is offering peace to sinners because He can justly do it based on the sacrifice that Christ made on our behalf. It's kind of like if me and Rob Hall, he's my good friend, but let's say that me and Rob Hall signed this agreement and he needs $100. And so I say, okay, I'll give you $100. Here's the contract. You're going to pay me back on this date. He says, okay, we both signed the contract. He owes me $100 on that. That date comes and he can't pay me. Can't pay me. Is the bill due? He can't pay me. But Brother Todd Adams. Yeah, he loves Brother Rob. And Brother Todd Adams hears about this, gives me $100 on Rob's behalf. Can I write on that contract paid in full, yes or no? Yes. Can I write paid in full based on what he did? No, I write paid in full based on the fact that somebody made a payment for him. Are y'all with me?
Amen.
You see, our sins were fully paid for on the cross. Could I pay for my sins? No. Could you pay for your sins? No. The wages of sin is death. We couldn't pay for them and escape death. And so Jesus Christ made a full payment on your behalf and on my behalf. And now God's part in reconciliation has already been accomplished through Jesus Christ, according to 2 Corinthians 5:19. So now it's no longer the sin question, but it's the Son question. If people remain unreconciled to God, it's because of their rejection of Christ, the rejection of His redemptive work on the cross. It's not their sin, but it's their rejection of the sin payment that has been made on their behalf. On the other hand, when a sinner chooses to believe on Jesus Christ, when a sinner chooses to believe that His payment was enough, when a sinner chooses to believe that Christ's payment was for them, and they accept Christ as their Savior, the Bible teaches immediately we are delivered from this present evil world. You see, after the time of grace is over, in fact, is it possible to go back to that chart or no? Glenda, can we do that? Can you go back to the chart? Okay, look at this. After this offer of peace, this grace period, if you will, when the grace period that we're living in right now is over, then what's going to happen? We're going to be caught up, those of us who have believed on Christ, we're going to be caught up with Christ, but then God's going to counter declare war on mankind, and there are going to be 7 years of judgment and wrath that are going to fall on this earth, which will culminate with the second coming of Christ to earth. The verse that we read, that He's going to come back and He's going to judge and He's going to make war with mankind. Now, here's the beauty of it, okay? If you are saved and you've put your faith and trust in Christ, look at Galatians 1:4 with me. Look down there. It says that Christ gave Himself for our sins, but now notice the result, that He might deliver us from this present what? Would you all agree with me that the world deserves the wrath of God? Does it? Sure. This is a satanic world system. Satan's the god of this world. There's a satanic world system in place. The Bible teaches that this earth is overdue for the judgment of God. God is not judging and making war right now. He's offering grace and peace through His Son, Jesus Christ. But one day, God is going to bring His wrath. But the Bible teaches that if we've trusted Christ back here in this time of grace, God delivers us from the wrath that's going to come on this present evil world. And Christ makes you a member of His heavenly kingdom. All of this because of Christ and His atoning sacrifice for sin. Look with me in your handout. Romans 5:1 says, therefore being justified by what? Faith. Notice what the result is. Now, I like to get you talking because I want you to think. See, I don't want to just spoon feed you. I want you to get it from the Bible. Romans 5:1, according to that verse, when I put my faith in Jesus Christ, what do I have? Three words in that verse. What do I have? Peace with God. How does that happen? By faith. In who? Through our Lord Jesus Christ. See? Look at the next verse, Colossians 1:20. Bible says that Christ, having made peace through the blood of His cross. Do you think the world needs to know about this peace? Do you think the world needs to know a way of reconciliation has been made? Think the world needs to know that grace is being extended and that peace is being offered to everybody, everywhere, based on an all-sufficient sacrifice for mankind? Do you think the world needs to hear it? Man, it does. The world needs to hear this. I'm so glad I heard this message. My house changed my life. I wouldn't be standing here before you this morning if somebody wouldn't have shared that message with me. Rob, you wouldn't be sitting there on the front row working with teenagers, seeing teenagers' lives changed. Rich, you wouldn't be heading up a Bible Institute teaching the Word of God if somebody wouldn't have shared the message of grace with you. And I look over this building and I see trophies of His grace everywhere. And I want you to know something. You would not be sitting here right now if it were not for this offer of grace from God and this offer of peace from God. And I believe everyone in the world ought to hear that message. Number three, the third reason we need to get out the message of grace is because Satan is filling minds with many false gospels. What's Satan up to today? Now we know what God's up to, right? We already saw it. What's God up to? He's offering what? Great. Is God zapping sinners today? That's not what He's doing. Is God judging nations today? Nope. Now He'll do all that later, we saw, but He's not doing that now. God's not zapping people groups. He's not judging people. So when you hear all that rhetoric, you can just ignore it. Just forget it. You know, these guys that get on TV and on the radio and try to give you all this stuff and all this hurricane hit because, you know, God's judging this one and God was judging New Orleans and God was judging that. You know, I mean, good night. You know, think. You know, we just need to think. Is there wickedness everywhere? Yeah. It's just ludicrous. That's just part of life. And there has been geological disturbances forever. So, you know, when you hear these guys on TV and radio saying that stuff, you just remember, you know what? That guy's wrong. God didn't send that hurricane to judge anybody. God's offering grace to mankind today. God's into offering grace and peace, and God will have all men to be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth. And God is offering peace today. That's what God's doing. What's Satan up to, though? Look in your handout. I'll show you what Satan's up to. 2 Corinthians 4:4 in your handout. In whom the god of this world, that's Satan, hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. Question, what's Satan up to today? What's he doing? He is blinding people's minds. And what is he blinding their minds from? The gospel of Christ. How does he blind them? He gets them to believe a false gospel. Look down at verse 6, Galatians 1:6. Paul said, I marvel that you're so soon removed from him that called you into the grace of Christ. He said, unto another gospel, which is not another. He said, it's not good news. But there be some that trouble you and would pervert the gospel of Christ. So according to Paul, people were perverting the gospel in his day. Do you think Satan is still perverting the gospel today? These people were coming in here, these Jewish legalists, telling these people they had to keep the law of Moses with all of its religious rites and ceremonies if they wanted to be saved. Paul denounces that as being no gospel at all. He says it's a corruption of the true gospel. Look at verse 8. But though we are an angel from heaven, preach any other gospel unto you than that which we have preached, let him be accursed. As we have said before, so say I now again. If any man preach any other gospel unto you than that which you have received, let him be accursed. Now listen, there are a multitude of religious systems in the world today. Tons of them. There are religious systems that are popular in India. Then there's different ones that are popular maybe in Mexico. Then there's other religious systems popular in Italy. There's other religious systems that are making it big here in America. And a lot of that's cultural. It depends on the culture of the people. There are religious systems literally all over this world. Okay? Now listen, all of them have two things in common. How do you know when you have been duped? How do you know when you have been enmeshed and entangled in a religious system? Two things, and I've got it in your handout, and I want you to get this. Here's two ways you can know that there's a religious system going on here seeking to blind people from the true gospel. Number one, they teach, that you have to keep the rules of their religious system to even have a chance of being right with God. Folks, that is religious. That is a religion of works. That Galatianism is alive and well today. And all the religious systems, I don't care what it is, they teach that you have to keep a list of things that they tell you you have to keep in order to have any chance of ever being in a right relationship with God. And it's nothing but Galatianism. It's still alive and well 2,000 years after Paul wrote this. It's a religion of works. Back in Paul's day, it was you got to keep the law of Moses. This religious system says you got to keep this rules. This religious system says you have to keep this rules. Ephesians 2, 8, and 9 says, "For by grace are you saved through faith, not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast." Listen, you cannot be saved through a religious system of good works. And any religion that purports to be able to get you right with God by keeping a list of rules, I want you to know that's nothing but Galatianism. It's a false gospel, and do not believe it. Don't believe it. I'm trying to help you this morning. I want you to see, number two, that religious system, the second thing they all have in common, they all deny the total sufficiency of Christ's work to save sinners. You know, they may believe Christ died, but it's always Christ. Yeah, I believe Christ died, but. Folks, there are no buts. It's not, I believe He died, but. Oh, I believe He paid for sins, but. It's always Christ plus something else in order for you to be saved and brought into a right relationship with God. It's never, hey, what Christ did on the cross is enough. It's a total and sufficient payment for sin. All you have to do is just trust Him in order to be. That's not the message in a religious system. The religious system is, maybe they believe Christ was a good man. Maybe they believe He was a prophet. Maybe they believe that He died on the cross. Maybe they even believe that He rose from the dead. But they don't believe that what His work did, what He did, they don't believe that's enough to save you. That you've got to do something, and it has to do with their religious system. They deny the total sufficiency of Christ's finished work. All religious systems, all of them, do that. We bought this furniture insurance for one of our couches. And when we bought the couch, they convinced us to buy this insurance for it. If you get any spot on it, all you got to do is make a phone call. We'll send a technician out and he's going to get that spot removed. And we said, oh, really? It's that simple? It's that simple. Just call the number. We'll send a technician out. We said, okay. So we paid, forked over the extra bucks for the insurance. Well, with three kids, guess what we got on our couch? Yeah. So we call the number. And hey, you know, we got a spot on our couch. We got this insurance here. We heard that if we just make a call, you'll come out, send a technician out. He'll fix it. Oh, no, sir. Sir, what you need to do is you need to let us send you a 2-page form. Once you fill out the 2-page form, you need to send the 2-page form back to us. Once we get the form back, then we will call you, and we may guide you through some steps where you can try to get the thing out on your own. And then if you can't get it out on your own, you know, and blah, 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 blah. You know, you always need to read the fine print. Amen? And that's the way people are with Christ. Yeah, we believe Christ died on the cross. We believe He made a payment for sin. But, and then they, you know, here comes the small print. You got to do all this in order to be saved. But in your handout it says Paul's gospel was one of pure grace. Look at the screen up here. Paul's gospel was one of pure grace. Look at the verse. Ephesians 1:7. In whom? In Christ we have redemption. What do I have? Redemption. How did I get it? Through His blood. And what do I have as a result? I have what? Forgiveness of all my sins. And notice it's all according, not to some denomination, not according to a religious system, not according to my good works. I've got redemption. I've got forgiveness of sins according to the riches of His grace. Amen. Now, do you agree with me we need to get that message out? Amen. Can we bring up the next picture? These people right here want to get that message out. The Barones want to take it to Italy. The Taylors want to take it to New York City. Canavan wants to take it to India. And the Flowers want to take it to Taiwan. These people want to get that message of grace out to these people. And my question is, what are we doing to help get that message out? What are we doing to help get it out? People need to be loosed from the cords of religion, and they need to be set free by understanding and believing the gospel of the grace of Jesus Christ. What Christ did is enough. He made a full payment for sin. My friend, when you simply rest in what Christ has done, God saves you and forgives you of all your sin. You don't have to join this church. You don't have to keep a list of rules. You don't have to keep a list of things I tell you to do. I got great news. What Christ did is enough. It's enough to save you today. And that's what these people want to go. And they're going to be here next week. And they're passionate about getting that message out. We need to support them, encourage them, and do everything we can to help them. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. With our heads bowed and with our eyes closed.